So y'all already focused 20 minutes, so y'all can all now go to sleep.
Oh, I can't do that?
No, it can't be on the podium.
Okay. Anyway, that was just so I could say what I... Anyway. So, my name's Hampton, and I am an addict. I got clean in Anniston, Alabama. And my clean date is June 14th, 1985. So I've been clean longer than I was out even, not even using, but just because I was 21 when I got clean. And I'm 50 now. Soon to be 51. So the irony here about me doing the 11th step is, if you type in Google, I am in newspapers quoted as someone in recovery. So the irony in that is that I'm in public relations and I get paid to go out and try to get press, radio, and film for my clients. And I have clients who are recovery organizations who have tried to get people to stand up and say, I'm in long-term recovery, and yada, yada, yada. So, so there's important why this tradition's here, because there's people like me that need it so that we have some guideposts of what to do. So that's one important thing. Social media has changed a lot, and I'm going to back up before social media. I learned about anonymity from a woman named Shirley. And Shirley was a tough cookie. Shirley was about 55. She was a cocktail waitress at the Holiday Inn in Anniston, Alabama. She would wear big heels, but back when women didn't wear big heels, she had this little skirty skirt that she would wear. She could hold a cigarette and do things, you know. And if you know how the smoke goes up in your nose, and she could do it for all day. So she was a tough cookie. And I was in Anniston, Alabama. We had one Narcotics Anonymous meeting a week. It was on Sunday at 11:15, I think, in a hospital, and there were like four or five of us that typically showed up. So that means I had to go somewhere else. And I went and broke somebody's anonymity at another fellowship. And Shirley walked up and grabbed me by the shirt and twisted it and said, if you ever break my anonymity again, I'm going to beat the fucking shit out of you. Sorry. Anyways, so that's how I learned about anonymity. And when you live in a small town and you have to kind of operate in a small town, anonymity is very important. I live in Washington, D.C. I walk the streets. There are very few times that I'll see, there's some people I see all the time, there's not a day that goes by that I don't see a lot of people that I may never see again, or I don't recognize them and they don't recognize me. And that's just the way it is. But in a small town, people know your shit, they know what's going on. We do in the fellowship, it's a small fellowship. But it's one of those things, so it's very important so that's anonymity. And why I'm saying that is very important is we also, the other part of the 11th step that because we have modernized our language to go with kind of with technology, is Facebook breaks our anonymity all the time.
Yep.
And we all love to do it. I love Facebook. You know, I love to click, 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 click. And mine is usually when I'm traveling, I will say I'm in such and such airport. But it's not one of those things where it's just one of those things that people need to be very much aware of who they're taking pictures of and what they're doing, even if you don't know them. Because one of your friends may know them, and if somebody's wearing a big Narcotics Anonymous t-shirt or big convention sign or whatever. So that's my little soapbox for that. But it's one of those things that we need to think about, because we are an anonymous fellowship, and that doesn't change. And having grown up in a small town, I really understand the importance of it. I mean, I didn't get health insurance because of it for the first couple of years. So just as we think about this, it really does have an impact. So that's that part. So that's my 11th my 11th tradition, brouhaha. I will say this. When I first moved to D.C., I used to chair a 12 and 12. It was like 12-step, 12-tradition meeting. And I hated it, because the traditions were always... We always went to the service junkies to do the traditions, because none of us would pick up the book and read them. And one of the things, I had a sponsor who said, you have to work the traditions like you have to work the steps. And that doesn't mean that they're just for the group. They're for us personally. So that's just another. So the 11th step for me is one of those things where, so I'm working it right now. And I have a new sponsor, and she's a bitch. Because one of the things she told me that I had to do is I have to not only do the kind of the praying at the beginning of the day, but I have to do it at the end of the day too. Damn. It's that reflection thing you do in the 10th step. Twice a day? Damn. So anyways, so I'm one of these addicts that if I kind of get my shit together, I really think my shit smells really good. So if you're going in and you're having problems with relationships or your financial whatever it is, I'm thinking, damn, they just fucked up. They're screwed up. I mean, because my shit smells good. And I don't have that, you know, so I'm one of these people who kind of forgets where I come from. And I forget, like, you know, the struggles that it takes to get something. Because, when we get clean, we get it really fast. It doesn't feel like it's fast. But if you're sitting there watching the newcomer and you see, like, in a year they're going to school, they got higher power, you know, they're paying their bills, they know how to do laundry. I didn't know how to do laundry. My laundry was inside out. My deodorant. So, you know, people had to tell me, you stink and you need to learn how to, you know, do your laundry. So those kinds of things are, we learn these things, we get them really quick, and it's really easy to forget where we come from. And I am wanting to do that. So, about 5 years ago, my poo-poo is smelling really good, and I'm looking at everybody else and saying and I'm bored with life, and I'm not working the steps. I'm going to meetings. I'm not working. I got a sponsor and I called a sponsor, but the sponsor is literally in about the same shape that I'm in. He's in a bad relationship and he's having struggles with jobs. And so I find this lovely guy. I mean, he was hot. But he wanted a sugar daddy. And I was making enough money, and I was like, sure, I'll buy into this. And my life was a totally hell for 2.5 years. Because I could say yes, but I cop a resentment right after I say yes. You know, you need to get a fucking job. And he was deaf, and so he would use that as an excuse of why he couldn't work. He had 3 master's degrees. I mean, the guy had plenty of things. I could say he was a bad person, but what I said to him at the end of our breakup was, as I said, I would love to blame you for all of this stuff. I made every single adult decision. So, and I'm not someone who usually takes on my faults. When Pete said that he came in and, you know, the thing about higher power, I believed in the higher power. And if you hear me share, I say this all the time. I thought my higher power was a son of a bitch. Because my life sucked, and it had to be somebody else's fault but mine. So, it was God's. Because that was it was my parents, and my, you know, there are a lot of other people on that list, but that was part of my list. And so, if you got a damning God, it's really hard to kind of, like, grab something that's spiritual. And when we get... This is my experience. So when I got clean, I had a huge void because I used like the commercial Calgon. Calgon, take me away. I wanted to have instant results. And that's why I kind of went from alcohol to drugs to the needle, was because everything would kind of quit working as fast. And the worst thing to me about using is when you're using and hitting and hitting and hitting, you know, with money, and it ain't working. I hate that feeling. Because I, you know, first time I ever drank, I blacked out. I blacked out my whole life when I would drink. And I did most of the time when I did drugs. And the biggest fear was I was going to tell my family secrets and my secrets on myself. And when I found out I didn't, I never stopped. And I wasn't one of these addicts who tried to stop and then didn't, you know. When I hit so hard and someone said, here's help, I took him. And part of that was my father was a recovering. So anyway, so I have this void and I can't fill it. And there's this damning God and I don't want it in my life. Because I got to blame somebody. But what was more out there was with a sense of desperation. And people would say to me, if you want what we have, you got to do what we do. And I didn't know how to pray. And I'm one of these people to this day, if you put me in a bathroom and there ain't nothing on there, I will hit my knees. And I look and I shut the thing and I make sure, you know, but I'll hit them. I'll hit my knees. Because it was some stupid thing that someone told me, and I don't think it's stupid. I'm actually Episcopal, more like Catholic, where we kneel a lot. But, you know, but it was one of those things for me. What it does more than anything, it's not the words that I say. It's the in my head that says, I can't do it. I need help. So 5 years ago, in this terrible relationship, I did it for about 2.5 years. Luckily, he stole some family silver of mine. I grew up in a family where you don't, you know, family stuff is the most important thing in the world. You can steal anything else away from me, but if you steal something that's my family's, we done. And it was probably the best thing he ever did because it was when I could say, I'm done with you, get the hell out of my life. But I was back where I was again, where I was bankrupt, spiritually. And I was sitting there and I was talking to my friend and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go see this therapist and da 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 da. And she said, Hampton, I was almost about where you were. And there's this woman who became my sponsor. And she saved my life. And she saved my marriage. Try her. And because I come from old school. Well, even though I'm gay, you know, men do men, women do women. You know, that's what we taught. I took it in a second. I was like, okay. Because I did just like I did in the very beginning when I was so desperate and someone said, read the daily meditation, even though you don't believe, I read it. Someone said, here, this woman can save your life. I said, fine, save my life. And it wasn't that I was at that point I was afraid of using. I was just tired of living the way I was living. Because I had gotten to a point where I'd had a job for 14 years and I lost it. Started another job and within 6 months lost that. And career's always been my life. That's who I am. I don't do relationships, I do jobs. And that was my self-worth. And it was me. I didn't have anything, you know? I was telling someone about, you know, because I'm single now and I try to, you know, if you don't send me his signal that you're interested, I have no game. I have zero game. I have no game. And so the reason why I'm saying I don't have no game. But boy, if you send me a signal, honey, I got game. I got game. I got game. But I need the signal.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I don't know why the hell that came up, but anyway, I lost my train of thought there. But part of it is I'm bankrupt. I get this new sponsor, and this sponsor doesn't fuck around. She's all about steps, praying up. Are you prayed up? Are you prayed up? I'm like, shit. Because I still to this day, you know, you're getting my opinion. And there are people who represent Rock Creek area, which I'm part of, and I grew up in Rock Creek area. Come Rock Creek. But I still feel like having faith is uncool in Rock Creek. And maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm just doing, but sometimes I feel like, you know, it's my own interpretation. It's not people. So it's my interpretation. So deal with that. Anyways, so my interpretation is it's not cool. And so even today I still have that. You know, the things that we grow up with, we still kind of carry with us. You know, these steps don't like free me in terms of they don't take them away. They free me from myself. But I don't change who I am. I still am the same person. I just don't have to act out on these character defects that I have. So got this new sponsor, I'm having to pray up, and I'm having to go and do all these different things, and we're flying. I mean, I'm on step 11 in 6 months, it's been 8 months, maybe a year. But I mean, I used to hear people sharing like I'm the 1 year month, you know, what, one step a year club, and I'm like, okay, I'll do that. This sounds good. We can do that. I've never done that, but it sounded good. So the 11th step for me is a lot different right now because in the first time I worked it, I was working it from someone who was new in recovery and was building a relationship with higher power. Now, supposedly I'm someone who's been around for a certain amount of time, so I'm supposed to have that relationship. I threw it away. The same kinds of feelings that I had in the beginning, I can grab those. I mean, it's been 29 years, but I can still grab those same attitudes. It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's not mine. My poo-poo smells good. But it don't. And so because it doesn't, I'm spiritually and morally bankrupt. And I got to go to meetings, and I got to say, ooh, you know that job that I just got? I lost that one too. It's like when I first got clean, I remember I had it probably about a year, and I got in a fight with someone, and I got a shiner. And we only had one night at meeting a night. And I was like, fuck you, motherfucker, I'm going to that meeting. And if you don't like it, it's mine. I'm going to be there with my black eye. And I had my black eye. So it's the same sort of thing. I had to go to these meetings that were my meetings, and I had to share about the fact that I was spiritually, morally bankrupt. And I had done it with clean time because I didn't work a program of recovery. Clean, what is it, you know, clean time doesn't equal recovery. It's true. And there are people who've got 1 week. Sometimes you sound a hell of a lot better than I do when I may have, you know, whatever. So that being said is we've been flying through these steps for the most part. Now that I hit step 11, she's gotten busier. She sponsors lots of people, and have to really work hard to get her on, you know, her schedule, which is a pain in the butt talks, because I don't like to schedule. I want you to, like, when I call you, be available. Want what I want when I want it. And I have to schedule. Like, I don't get haircuts scheduled, so I just don't do it because I spend my whole life at work scheduling things. So in my personal life, let's just go. And I can't do that. And so now I'm having to... Is that... No. I don't know. So now I'm having to... morning? Evening. And I use the 10th step, which the meeting before was on the 10th step. I still use that guide, although I scratched out some of it because I'm now on step 11. There's certain things I don't need. But it's still something that reminds me, although now it's fallen off the side of my thing because I had somebody coming over and I didn't want them to see that. So it's one of those things where it's really easy to ask for help when you're hurting. When things are okay, because I'm in an okay place, it's much harder. It's harder to like. And what I do now in my morning meditation, and meditation is one of those things where I'm one of those people who sit in a room and I still fidget. You know, I fidget. I can't sit still. And I have gone to India and sat down with the Dalai Lama's Lama, which means teacher, to learn how to meditate. I have been a tree, and I have put my roots in the ground, and I've done all kinds of bizarre things to meditate. And none of them are wrong. If I'm willing to try to gain a spiritual program, whatever that takes, it's not wrong. For me, it's not wrong. I don't have to share it in here. You know, what I do outside of Narcotics Anonymous has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous, as long as it's the right thing. But I can grow spiritually not just doing Narcotics Anonymous things. And whatever I try, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's, you know, because I'm trying to better myself. I gotcha. Cool. So the way that I meditate and the way that I kind of bond with God is I try to, you know, I read two pages and I say the third step prayer and I'm out. And I probably don't get much, you know, except that I read. And I'm reading Living the Program, and that's a pretty good book. It's a little namby-pamby and some things, but for the most part, it's a good book. And I read two or three pages, and the way that I commune or I meditate is that somewhere during the day, I get a reference point. Oh, I read that, and that makes sense, and that makes sense. So that I'm open during the day to have my higher power kind of remind me of some of the things I read. And that, to me, becomes my meditation. But the best time I ever meditate is when I'm walking the dog in the morning, and I can kind of just, and I live in the city, and there's a lot of things going around, but I just kind of space out, and I'm thinking about whatever. Because that's listening. Because what meditation is you're listening to something. To me, it happens to be God. You call it whatever you want. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. I will tease you about it if you say something kind of, you know, woo-woo, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I think, it's what works for you. So that's where I am. I'm still in 11th step. I'm not moving backwards and forwards. I'm in the 11th step, and I'm having to do the thing that's still the killer. The easy part's the morning. The morning's easy. It's the reflection in the evening. It's not like I don't hate to reflect. It's just, it's not a routine thing for me. And Narcotics Anonymous is one of those things which I told you I don't like scheduling. I don't like routines. I don't like anything that's good for me most of the time. Or positive. I guess I'm thinking about it. But those are the things that save my life. Those are the things that make me a better person. Those are the things that help me grow. Those are the things that keep me here. Those are the things that keep me honest. And people say, you know, I came in and I became an honest person. I'm not always honest. I lie like a mother. And I don't know why. It just comes. I'm like, okay. You know. But I will tell myself. That's what I will do. I will lie to you and I will turn around and say, well, you know, not really. You know. But I will tell myself. I will do that. But I will still lie. I don't know what that has to do with 11th step, but it's not good. But anyway, so for me, it's just been a different experience with this sponsor about working the 11th step because the reflection part of me. That's all I have. Thank you.